Let me read a text in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1, 20. 2 Corinthians 1, 20. Paul said, "For all the promises of God, all the promises of God in Him, in Christ, are yes. And in Him, amen, which is, so be it, unto the glory of God by us." Now, the old black preacher, upon being asked the secret of his preaching, replied, "Well, I tells them what I'm going to tell them, and then I tells them, and then I tell them what I done told them." And that's what I'm going to do tonight. That's my outline. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you. Then I plan to tell you what I done told you. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you something tonight about the promises of God. The Bible has a lot to say about the promises of God. I don't know whether you noted it or not, but Mike was singing hymns tonight having to do with the promises of God. I heard it several times while you were singing. Promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let His praises ring. First of all, I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, Peter has something to say about these promises of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. He says, first of all, that they're given to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." They come from God. Every good gift and perfect gift comes from God and is the free gift of God. The very first thing I learned about the promises of God is they're freely given. They are the promises of God. And He says that they're given unto us. And the next thing I learned about them is the value of them. They're beyond understanding because He calls them precious. And God doesn't use that word carelessly. He uses it in association with and identification with the greatest things. He talks about we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. These great and precious promises are in good company, right along with the blood of Christ. He said His word is precious. And He says that Christ is precious unto you that believe. He is precious. And then He said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. That's precious. So along with the precious blood, along with the precious Son, along with the precious faith are the precious promises. Now read on. "Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, through these promises, you might be partakers of a divine nature." Oh, I tell you, by these promises, by the promise of God, you're partaker of the divine nature. Now, that's the first thing I find about the promises of God. And He gave them. They're great, exceeding great and precious promises, and through these promises, I am a partaker of God's own nature. All right, turn to 2 Peter 3. Now, here's something else that I learned about these promises of God. Now, watch this. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise." The Lord is not slack. In other words, He's saying here, the Lord doesn't make promises carelessly and flippantly and idly. He's going to fulfill every one of them. Every promise prophecy that Almighty God has made and given to us in Christ, he's going to keep. He's not slack concerning these promises. The Lord does not treat them indifferently. He fully intends to accomplish them. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's patient and long-suffering to usward in dealing with his people, in fulfilling his purposes, in fulfilling his promises. The Lord is very patient and very long-suffering. How long was it from the time that the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was born to his mother and father? And he said God separated him from his mother's womb. He was a recipient of the promise of God from his mother's womb. He was a participator in the promise of God from his mother's womb. But do you know he walked in rebellion? He walked in blasphemy. What he said, I was a blasphemer. He walked in injurious, persecuting for 40 some odd years. That's patience, you see. That's the Lord's long suffering. We're not that patient. We'd have cut him off when he's about 12 or 21. We'd have cut him off. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward. How long did he put up with you? You see, what's time to God? Just prior to that, Peter said, look at verse 8, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Oh, yes. God is so minute and particular in every detail, in every snowflake, in every grain of dust, in every hair of your head, that 1 24-hour period is to God 1,000 years. Everything is attended to with such particular sovereign care. Every breath, every step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We rush through a day or rush through an hour. God never rushes. Now you think about 1,000 years, that's a millennium. 1,000 years, that's 10 centuries. That's 100 decades. 1,000, and that's a 24-hour period with God. He's so, but 1,000 years is a day with God. And he's not slack concerning his promises. What God promised, he will fulfill. As some men count slack, he's long-suffering, he's patient. He's not willing, God's not willing, that one promise should perish, that one promise should fail, that one sheep should be lost, that one son should not come home, that one of his elect should not be saved, that one of his brethren should not be brought to the kingdom. Watch it. But that all should come to repentance. Every single one of them. That's what that verse is saying. Did you know that? I don't know why in the world folks have trouble with that verse of Scripture. We're talking about the promises of God. We're talking about the promises freely given, those great and precious promises that Almighty God is going to accomplish. And he's not slack. He's not a one of them going to drop. You know, we go down the road with a whole wagon load of cotton and a few drops of cotton, a few bowls of cotton fall off the truck, and we don't stop and pick them up. God never lets them fall off. You're hauling 10,000 bricks, and one of them fails, so it's just another brick, but not just another son. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. Every one of them. And that's what he's saying right here. Lord, he's not slack concerning his promises, some men count carelessness, indifference, and slackness, but he's long-suffering. God's patient. He's patient. I'm saying this, if you're his, he'll bring you. He'll bring you. He'll bring you to himself. He'll bring you to his way. He'll fulfill every promise. Not a one of them shall perish. All shall come to repentance. Then Paul said this, turn to Galatians 3 about these promises of God. In Galatians 3, he says these promises were made to someone. Now, well, you usually make a promise to someone, don't you? Young people stand before me and I say, do you promise to love, honor, cherish, sustain, protect, in poverty, wealth, sickness, health, till death do you part? And as they say, I do. A lot of times they don't mean it. They make promises they don't keep. I think God's going to call them to account for it, too. Be careful when you vow a vow before God. That's what the Word says. But our Lord keeps His promises, and He makes them to somebody. You made a promise to that girl. She made a promise to you. And God makes a promise to somebody. Well, to whom does He promise these things? Galatians 3:16. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Woe, He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Bob, there's where it is right there. You camp right there. Every promise God made, He made to Christ and to those in Christ. Now, I'm going to show you that. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, that is, by the Holy Spirit, have put on Christ. And in Christ is neither Jew nor Greek, no nationality, bond nor free, that is, high-born and low-born. There's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and your heirs of the promise, according to the promise. See it? The promise was made to Christ, to Abraham's seed, singular, Christ. And that promise is yours in Christ. He's the heir of every promise. We're the joint heirs in Christ. Ephesians 3:6 says something similar to that, talking about us Gentiles. That's what we are. We're Gentiles. But Ephesians 3, verse 6 says this. It says in Ephesians 3:6 that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. With whom? With Christ. With the Jew. And of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. That's not too hard, is it? Very clear to me. These promises freely given. Great and precious. Exceeding great and precious. And they're made, those promises are made to Christ and to all who are in Christ. And God's not slack concerning them, huh? They'll be fulfilled. Every one of them. He's not willing that any, not any. Well, surely there's somebody drop along the way. No. Not one brick. Not one gem. Not one stone. Not one sun. Not one sheep. Not one. Not a hoof nor a hair, Moses said, don't leave behind. We're all going out of Egypt and everything that pertains to us. And then you know, over here in Romans 4, old Abraham believed that what God promised, he was not only willing but able to perform. Now here's where I have a friend out in Oregon. And he's always talking about where the rubber meets the road. Now, I don't know where that is, but it must mean business. It must mean the bottom line. It must be where the rubber hits the road, the nitty-gritty or something. And here it is. You see, Abraham believed that God not only made the promise, and God was not only willing to fulfill the promise, but he was quite able to do it. Quite able. I heard a man on television just 2 hours ago. I turned on my TV, I was listening to this preacher. And Doris was eating a bowl of, she's always eating something. She was eating a bowl of cereal or something. But she was sitting over there eating while I was watching television. And she nearly dropped it. When he said this, I looked at her, she said, I thought that's what he said. But he said, now watch this. And I'm not running down others. I'm just saying this is what's being preached. He said, the devil cannot stop the kingdom of God. The devil has no power over the kingdom of God. The devil cannot resist the kingdom of God. He cannot stop the kingdom of God except where you don't believe. Well, he's stopping it there then, isn't he? I don't believe the devil can stop the kingdom of God anywhere. Well, you believe or don't believe. Paul said this. Paul said, shall their unbelief make void the promise of God? Well, it's ridiculous. Shall the unbelief of Israel make void the purpose of God? And that's what Abraham is saying. He believed God was able to do what he said, even against all hope, human hope. Listen to him in verse 20 of Romans 4. He staggered not at the promise of God. It was a, and I'll tell you, here was Abraham, almost 100 years old, and Sarah 90, never had any children. And God said they're going to have a son. Sarah was going to give birth to a son sired by Abraham. That's pretty hard to believe. Against all hope. But he didn't stagger Abraham through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving God the glory and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God could perform. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. No, Satan can't stop the kingdom of God anyway. What God's promised, and you know what it says in that next verse? And therefore, that faith was imputed to him for righteousness. Acceptance with God. Now, that wasn't written for his sake alone that faith was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if you can believe. I believe. Lord, help my unbelief, but I believe. I believe God. And that's what this is. That faith in God who promised was counted to him for righteousness. Now here's the next thing. What are these promises? What are these promises? These precious promises. These exceeding great and wonderful promises. These promises that are given us of God. These promises that not one shall fall to the ground. He's not slack concerning his promises, not willing that one should perish. This promise made to Christ and to us in Christ and to all who are in Christ, Jew and Gentile. What are these promises? All right. Turn to Titus 1, verse 1 through 3. Now, brethren, this is staggering, but this is God's promise. You know what he's promised? Titus 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, that's how I got there, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before this world began. Now, the Russians can call religion the opium of the people. The psychologists can call it sentimentality and emotionalism, or whatever they want to. But Almighty God said this before the world began, that I'm going to give some folks eternal life. The life of God, divine life which Adam lost in the garden, that life which was lost by sin, that life that went out, God's going to turn back home. That life which was buried, God's going to raise. That communion and fellowship with the living God, that life that can never die, that life of God, that holy life, perfect life, divine life, sinless life, life of God, born anew in a sinner by the power of God through the righteousness of Christ, is going to live always and always. That eternal life, that's what God promised, eternal life. That's what he promised. And he hath in due times, verse 3, manifested through his word, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. This eternal life, God's promised eternal life. You say, what if when you and Richard are flying to St. Kitts, what if the plane goes down? Well, if it goes down, I'm still living. Not living here anymore, but I'm living with the Lord. I believe that. Eternal life. If somebody in this congregation goes home tonight and God if the message comes, the Master's come and calleth for thee. But we'll miss you, but I know if you believe Christ, you've got eternal life. We may embalm your body and put it in a box and put it in the ground and weep over it and cover it over and plant some flowers and go out there to visit, but you're not there. I believe that. Eternal life. If a man dies, shall he live again? Oh, yes. Yes. I don't have any doubt about it. He shall live again. We'll turn to 1 John 2:25. 1 John 2:25. Listen to this. 1 John 2:25. Watch this right here. Let's read verse 24 and 25. 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us. Eternal life. Charlie, you believe that? I believe that. Eternal life. God promised it. Now what I say about his promises, they'll never fail. He's not only willing, he's able to perform. He's able to give us eternal life. Eternal life. All right, here's something else. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6. What else does his promise include? It includes sonship. Now you see, the promise was made to his son, and we're sons in Christ. The heir is his son, the first begotten, the only begotten, the firstborn of every creature. He's the heir. And if we can, by his promise, by his word, become sons, adopted, that's what we're adopted sons. But an adopted son is as much an heir as a son from the loins. And he says here in 2 Corinthians 6:18, he says, I'll be a father unto you. You be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Now verse 1 of chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. What promises? I'm your father, and you're my sons and daughters. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. But what I'm pointing out is there. We're sons of God. That's his promise. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but when we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. But if a son, then an heir. Turn to Romans 8. Let me show you that. Romans chapter 8. We're more than just professing Christians. We're more than just Baptists. We're more than just, we're children of God. He says, I'll be a father to you. God's not the father of all men, creator of all men, but they're not all sons of God. He said, you have your father the devil. Children of wrath are not children of God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. What's his promise? Eternal life, sonship. And having sonship, heirship. We have an inheritance. Eternal, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved by the promise of God for you, who are kept by faith. Kept by the power of God through faith. All right? Look down here at Romans 1. What does this promise include? It includes his gospel, the good news, the visit of his own son to this earth to be our redeemer. Watch Romans 1:1. Paul, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And what's this gospel of God concerning? Verse 3, it's concerning his son. Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace. But look at verse 2. Which he promised.
by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Christ coming, why'd he come? God promised he would. The king was made flesh. How come? God promised it. That's what I've been saying. All right, 2 Peter 3, what was this promise include? 2 Peter 3, verse 13 and 14. Look over here, 2 Peter 3, 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we, 2 Peter 3, 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's what he's promised. All right, now that's what I'm going to tell you. Now turn back to the text, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. The old preacher said, I tell them what I'm going to tell them, about the promises of God. Now I'm going to tell you where it is, where the promises of God are. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, 20. This is the most important part of the message. For all the promises of God, every one of them, all of them, in him. In him. Now, one of our men came out the door this morning. I don't think he's here tonight. He came out the door this morning and he said that he talked to a dear lady and some time ago, and she said, now, I'm a Jew. And I do not believe in Jesus Christ. I do not believe he's the Messiah. I do not believe he's the Savior. But, she said, I'll be in heaven. That's according to her theology, not according to God's. That's according to her thoughts. Because he says here, all the promises of God are in him. That's what it says. Nothing God has for this universe, nothing God has for believers, nothing God has for Zion or the church, it's not in Christ. I'm being no more narrow than the Word of God. Christ said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. So that's what it says here. All these promises of God are in him. Now watch this. He only existed when the promises were made. Because Titus said, in hope of eternal life which God promised before the world began. When God purposed and promised, there was only Christ. That's right. That's exactly right. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, there was only Christ. You see, this is the thing. The average person thinking about election thinks that God Almighty picked out individuals in a sequence. But God picked us out in Christ. Amen. You see, we're chosen in Christ. He's the firstborn of every creation. He's the elect. We were chosen in him. We're blessed in him. We're redeemed in him. We're righteous in him. That's what I was trying to preach this morning. Everything we are and have and ever hope to be is because of and through and in and from him. God looks on you in Christ, loves you in Christ, blesses you in Christ. Outside of Christ, there's wrath. Now, that's so. We may not like it, but he that believeth not on the Son, wrath of God abideth on him. We're not on probation. The trial's all over. We're on death's row if we're not in Christ. That's just, see, all the promises, he says, they're all in him. Not only, watch this. Not only were they made to him, not only was he the only one in existence when they were made, but he himself, and only Christ himself, can fulfill the conditions of the promises. There's conditions on God's promises. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. God's promises are based on his holiness. Everything that God does has to be in agreement with his character. God can no more do wrong than we can do right. God does everything according to his nature. God can't lie. We can't tell the truth. Not the whole truth, nothing but the truth. We'll take a good shot at it once in a while, but we don't quite get there. I mean the truth. God cannot, he cannot lie because he's holy. We cannot do good because we're sinful. And Almighty God, those promises had to be fulfilled, every condition of the promise. And therefore, look at this verse again. For all the promises of God, all of them of God, are in him, and all of them are yes. Yes. God going to save every creature? Yes. We have a perfect righteousness in Christ? Yes. Will God raise every believer? Yes. Will everybody be in glory? Yes. Will we live eternally? Yes. All the promises are yes. 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 There's no, no. Yes. Yes. God will forgive all my sins? Yes. Even my worst sins? Yes. But now wait a minute, you don't know about this one. Yes. And no, no in Christ. It's yes. It's yes. And not only that, but amen. So be it. Why be it? God said it, so be it. Got no objection. Isn't that glorious? The promises of God in Christ. And why did he do all this? Verse 20, the last line. Unto the glory of God. That's why he saved you and me, and that's why he saved any sinner. He saved, to the praise of his glory. He says that in Ephesians 1, 6, 12, and 14. In Ephesians 2, he said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He chose us to the praise of his glory. Christ died for us to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit revealed Christ to the praise of his glory. Yes. In Christ, out of Christ, no. You mean if I don't believe in Christ, I can't go to heaven? No. God won't accept any man, male, any person, male, female, Jew, Gentile, anyone? No. In Christ, yes. You can't ask the question. In Christ, it's not yes. So be it. Without Christ, no. No. All right, what did I tell you? Here's what I told you. I told you about these great, exceeding, precious promises of God. I told you God's not slack concerning them. He will fulfill every one of them. I told you this. Those promises are eternal life, sonship, inheritance, a new heaven and a new earth. And I told you they're all in Christ. That's what I told you. And here's what I said. In the words of a hymn writer, Jesus, Lord Jesus, engrave it, old Job said engrave it with a pin of iron and the point of a diamond in the rock forever. Engrave it on my heart. That thou the one thing needful art. I could from all things parted be, but never, 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 Lord, from thee. Needful art thou to make me live. Needful art thou all grace to give. Needful to guide me when I stray. Needful to save me every day. Needful is thy precious blood. Needful is thy correcting rod. Needful is thy patient care. Needful is thy intercessory prayer. Needful thy presence, Lord, true peace and comfort to afford. Needful thy promise to impart fresh life and faith to my heart. Needful art thou to be my stay through all of life's dark and stormy way. No less in death thou wilt needful be when I yield up my soul to thee. Then shall my soul with joy supreme dwell on that delightful theme. Glory and praise be ever his. The one thing needful, Jesus is. All the promises of God are in him. And they are yes. And amen to the glory of God. Our Father, thank you for the promise. We rejoice that we're able to rejoice in Christ. We rejoice that we're able to rejoice only in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in this flesh. Now bless the word. Make it profitable. In these immediate days ahead, we pray for ourselves and our friends and our preacher brethren. We pray, O Lord, for those journeying tonight. Pray for the families of this congregation. Beloved, beloved family, thank you for them. Thank you for them, for their faithfulness and their support, their love for thee and the gospel, their labor of love and works of faith. Thank you for everyone, every home represented. Bless our friends who are sick. Oh God, minister to them for your glory and for our good in a special way. Bless us as we part tonight and till we meet again. John's preaching Wednesday, Lord, anoint him. Maurice on the Lord's Day, Bob in Lexington, others who travel to other places, David in Florida. Thank you for these faithful brethren, these who teach here. Lord, every time we open our mouths to represent thee, help us. Help us. Help us to understand something of the burden of the word of the Lord. Anoint it with your spirit. Those who sing, thank you for those who care for the things here every day, grateful for them. Thank you for them. Bless them in a special way. For Christ's sake, amen.